Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today we are going to introduce a new series of studies by going back to the Psalms, studies in selected Psalms. This is not the first time we've undertaken such a series, and we've called it Studies in Selected Psalms because we select the Psalms out of the 150 Psalms in Israel's hymnal. The Psalms were actually sung, and those Psalms indeed were an inspiration to them and to us as well. Many of them were written by David, and so many of the ones that we're going to consider have been written by David. Now, the Psalm which we wish to consider today is Psalm 112 in this new series on studies in selected Psalms. And if you have your Bibles near at hand, I think it would profit you to consider reading along with us and notice what we are saying about the text. Psalm 112, and it's a short psalm, and we will be reading through it without halting. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. This psalm shows us the dealings of God with the godly Israelite. So much is promised to him. It's introduced by a beatitude in the first place. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. A beatitude in the Old Testament is just the same as that in the New. It's something to be deeply thankful for. It's something that is beautiful. We think of the Beatitudes that are contained in the Sermon on the Mount. How beautifully they are. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so on. So here we have a Beatitude, even as the first Psalm in the whole Psalter begins with a Beatitude. And here is the Beatitude for this man. He's just one of the children of Israel, but he's a godly man. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Now he fears the Lord, and he delights in his commandments. This reminds us so much of the first Psalm. We will not read it. We will not go back to it. We have too much to consider. Now we will notice that his posterity will have power and influence. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. God granted the godly Israelite riches. But then he told them, if riches increase, set not your heart upon them. It was just his stamp of approval that Israelite was going on for God. I fear very much that we have borrowed some of these thoughts from the Psalms and interpreted them, that if things are going well for us, if all our bills are paid, that we have the smile of God upon us. We're going to contrast this psalm. This is the Israelite. This is how God blessed him. Before we finish our study today, we're going to contrast him with the Christian of today, and the contrast is quite marked. Here he is with riches. That was the seal of God's approval. It was the stamp of his approval. Riches and continuity. You notice the continuity. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. God is going to look after this man, this Israelite that has pleased him, whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And he fears the Lord, not in the sense of slavish fear, but the fear of regard, the fear of respect. This man is a godly man, and he knows the Lord, and he's enjoying the Lord in fullness. And so he's blessed. And God puts his stamp of approval on him by blessing him. Now, we might go on by saying, it reflects in his life. It reflects in his kindness to others, verses 4 and 5. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Indeed, this man is a godly man, and he's kind to others. His diligence and his wisdom is very much in the forefront here in all his business affairs. He is indeed not afraid of his enemies. We read that down in verses 7 and 8. He shall not be afraid of even evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. This man is wholly devoted to God, and he's looking to God to take care of him. And God is greater than all of his enemies. His life will be a rebuke to the ungodly. Notice in verse 10, the wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Now God has two great companies of people. In the Old Testament, it was the Jewish nation. In the New Testament, it is the church. The Jewish nation cut themselves off from God by crucifying their Messiah. He's going to come and reign over them. God is not through with the Jewish people yet. He's going to bless them, and they're going to be the avenue of blessing for the whole world in days to come, especially in the millennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. But they are an earthly people. Now, in contrast to this, the church is a heavenly body. We'll be noticing it in a few moments. But let's remember, too, that during the millennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ is going to reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. That is in the, I think, it's in the near future. I really believe the coming of the Lord is near. The Lord is going to come and rapture, snatch away his church from certain judgments that are going to come, which we call to the 70th week of Daniel. They take place in the 70th week of Daniel. Now, God is going to snatch the church away. And then Israel is going to be converted to the Lord. 12,000 from each tribe, 144,000 Jewish people are going to go out as missionaries. God is going to work in a marvelous way with the Jewish nation. And when the millennial reign is set up, when our Lord Jesus Christ takes his place on the throne, the Jewish nation is going to be the head and the other nations are going to be the tail. And all blessing will come out through the Jewish nation in that day, as it did in the Old Testament. If you, in the Old Testament, if you had any contact with God, you became a Jewish proselyte. Now, Gentiles were taken into the fold, yes, but they became Jewish in their approach to God, and they used the Jewish sacrifices as well. Now, let's go to the church. The church in the New Testament is a spiritual body. Their blessings are not material. Their blessings are spiritual. We read, for instance, in the first chapter of Ephesians, verse 3 of that wonderful epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, and he's writing to Gentiles. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, the church's blessings are spiritual. Israel's blessings were material. That man was rich. The man who shared the approval of God, he was a wealthy man. Riches and honor were his. But with the New Testament church, the New Testament saint can be as poor as the proverbial church mouse, and yet he can be rich in the things of God. This is true. We are a heavenly people. Those of us that belong to the church, our blessings are spiritual. You go through the book of Ephesians and see how that is developed, and it's wonderful indeed to see all the spiritual blessings we have. I think of that wonderful portion of Scripture in the third chapter of the Colossian epistle. Paul is writing here to Colossians. Here they are, Gentile people, but they're members of the church. Here's what he says in chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. That was different with a Jew. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Now you and I, we are given spiritual blessings, if ye then be risen with Christ. And the word "if" here does not introduce doubt at all. We have been risen with Christ. There's no doubt about it. The "if" here takes on the power of the word "since." Since ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And you and I have the privilege. You and I have indeed the privilege of just carrying on our lives down here as pilgrims and strangers. Indeed, we are just citizens of heaven. Paul tells us that in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior. The word "conversation" here is the manner of life. Most new translations translated "our citizenship is in heaven." Heaven is our homeland in some translations. This is it. We are a heavenly people. This earth is not our home. We're just a passing through. And oh, that wonderful time is coming when we will be with our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is the contrast between Israel and the church. Now in Israel, that blessing was evidenced by the wealth of material blessings, spiritual as well, of course. But in the church, it is the wealth of spiritual blessings. Oh, the blessings that are going to come, and perhaps much sooner than we realize. Our Father, today we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for this 112th Psalm and what it tells us about the godly Jewish person. We ask it as we give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen.